you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, we are delighted to be on the air as a result of those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. For those who support the ministry all this month, available to you, a fantastic book titled They Say We Are Infidels. And this book by Mindy Belts is so fantastic on many levels because it is faith-stretching. To be a Christian in Iraq or in Syria is to live in mortal danger. Because the truth of the matter is, while this is squarely in the blind spot of many Western Christians, churches are being bombed, pastors are being murdered, and children are being kidnapped, often for sexual purposes. Families whose ancestors have survived 2,000 years in the very region where Christ and his disciples walked are now risking elimination by Islamicists. And journalist Mindy Belts has spent more than a decade not just writing about this from afar, but actually being there covering persecuted Christians while the mayhem is taking place in the Middle East. They Say We Are Infidels is thus her brilliantly reported account of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the Middle East at this moment. It is the harrowing and often inspiring story of men and women of unshakable faith. That and an endorsement by Melanie Kirkpatrick on the back of the book. And her words are absolutely clear and plain and true. Think back in history to 635. This was just 3 years after Muhammad had died. Damascus. Think about Damascus. This was the city where Paul was heading when he experienced his dramatic conversion to Christianity. It fell, 635, it fell to invading Muslims. And then a decade later, Antioch. This was the place where disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. Antioch fell. And then shortly thereafter, it was the unhappy task of Sophronius, the Patriarch of Jerusalem, to hand over the city of Jerusalem to the conquering Omar. Muhammad's trail of terror is the legacy of Islam, that from the fall of Jerusalem to the present. The world, as a result of Islam, has known jihad. Muhammad migrated to Medina, but remember, he never assimilated. After reaching critical mass, he slew the pagans. And he took over their houses and their lands, and later he seized Mecca. And he made it the centerpiece of his conquests. And then he beleaguered the cities of Arabia, taking their women and their wealth as his private property. His stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later is now the fastest growing pseudo-religion in the world. Of course, like every other man, he faced his own mortality. How different he was from Jesus Christ. Again, the book, They Say We Are Infidels, available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial is mentioned in the prologue to the program, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888 1-800-275-4265. First up is Mark. He's listening in Anderson, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I had a question, and I don't know whether I ought to name his name, but I didn't know what you... I had a question about... I'd heard a message down the radio about the parable of the mustard seed, and this man described the mustard seed as the true church, and as it grew into the tree, that it became the false church. And I'd never heard it mentioned like that before. I'd always preached it that it, you know, and I'm a pastor, that it, that you can grow into something great where people can, you know, find rest in you. And his name's Gary Hedrick. I don't know whether I need to mention that or not, but it seems like every time I listen to that, I get let down a little bit. I don't know how you see that, and I was wondering if you could kind of give some insight on that parable, and maybe tell me what you think of that ministry. I'm going to get off here and listen to you.
Thank you. Not familiar with the ministry, but let me say that what is going on in the parable is fairly simple. On one hand, it's complex on the other, and I'll explain why in a moment. But the germ of what's going on is Jesus using the smallest of seeds familiar to Palestinian farmers to illustrate that while the kingdom of God began in obscurity, in the end it would fill the earth and it would endure forever. You'd never want to take a parable and try to make it walk on all fours, nor do you want to take a parable and read into the parable a meaning that was not intended by the author, particularly when the author of the parable in view is the crystal Christ himself, the paragon of virtue. And the truth communicated by the parables of Jesus was not evident to all who heard them, both in the immediate context, in other words, in the first century, nor to those who hear them in the 21st century. In fact, the listener has to have spiritual ears, and then they'll have some degree of understanding as to what's going on in the parables. Remember, the mission in the Old Testament was to open the eyes of Israel to the acts of God, and in the same way, the parables in the New Testament open the eyes of those in the first century, and again vicariously today, to truths that lead them to produce the fruit of righteousness. And Jesus takes the parables and he relates them to aspects of the kingdom, speaking of the Father through vivid stories. And through those stories, making it plain that we too are co-consummators in the kingdom. And that's precisely what's going on with the mustard seed. Because here you have just a few disciples at the time of Christ who will eventually become a great multitude, the full complement of God's people from every tongue and nation, from every place on planet Earth. But you also have a strand within the parable that is alluding to a deeper truth, and that is the faith that enters our heart, small when it enters, but eventually, as we partake of the means of grace available to us, that small seed takes over our being. So there are rich strands of truth in parables like this, but we must never read into the parables, meanings that the parables were not intended to have. And again, this requires men in the pulpit, teachers in every walk of life to use discernment skills. How do you use those discernment skills? We learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You partake of the graces of God, and as you do, you are filled or illumined with truths that Christ has communicated in his word. But we never go beyond what he has communicated. Derek next in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Derek.
Yes, how you doing, Hank? I'm so grateful for your program. I really enjoy it a lot. Yes, I have a question that has been bothering me for a couple of time now. I mean, for a while now. Yeah, it's all about the end time, right? Because the Bible said this gospel is going to be preached in every corner of the earth. Then comes the end, right? But what I want to understand, how is it going to be like for those that they hear the gospel and perish and die? So how are they going to be judged?
Well, the truth of Scripture is always the same, and that is that we are judged according to the light that we have given. And the truth that we embrace as Christians is that while God dwells in obscurity on the one hand, He also dwells in light. In other words, if we search after Jesus Christ, we always will receive the light that is necessary. And I've said this many times on the broadcast, but the quintessential example, I think, comes from Nicodemus. Nicodemus is asking Jesus Christ questions, and in the context, Jesus is telling them that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The point being that the problem is never that there's not sufficient light. The problem is that men despise light, and because they despise light, they do not receive further light. As long as we respond to light, we will receive all the light that is required to have fellowship with God. Now, you go to the Old Testament, and there were saints like Abraham that do not have the kind of light, or did not have the kind of light that you do in the present. He saw, as it were, through a glass dimly. Today, we have the requisite knowledge that he did not have, but he was a friend of God because he responded to the light that he had, and he worshiped the coming Christ through types and shadows. Now, Christ has come, and we worship the reality of Christ who has come. And again, we have, as believers, a light that is greater than all other lights, but it is because we've responded to other light. We've responded to the light of creation. We don't take the sun and make it our God, but we recognize that there was a God who created the sun. We also do not dismiss the light that God has placed on the tablet of our consciousness. We respond to it. And thus, when we do, we receive further light. So it's never the absence of light that damns, it's the despising of light that damns. And that's why Paul could say, when he was on Mars Hill, that from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. Which is to say that if people respond to the light that they have been given, and that light is voluminous. Just imagine every single day we see God's created handiwork, and then we have that inner knowledge. If we respond to that, then God will reveal himself. If we reject it, then we reject it because we don't want light. We despise light, as Jesus said to Nicodemus.
Because like for some of for me, I'm from Africa, right? And when it comes to like Christianity, it was just literally the part of Africa started seeing Christianity. So like most of our people, they were illiterate. So like I'm still like, it's kind of like, because there should be something, I don't know, but thanks for the explanation. For me, I grabbed it, but I was just a little concerned about those with less education, like how can they really understand there is a goal? How would they really, like, what some of the things that will convince them that,
Well, like again, Abraham, though, this is not...
Like God spoke to him, right? God showed himself to him and told
right.
him to leave your parents.
Sure.
Or whatever those are, God did not talk to them.
But God does talk to them. That's the whole point, Derek. I mean, the point is that God does talk to them, and he speaks to them through the still small voice within, as well as the blazing lights above, as I just mentioned. But the other thing that we have to remember is that God in his grace sends to those who are open to the light that they have received, he sends in his grace further light. It could be a light that comes from you, Derek. It could be from a missionary. It could be from God's unique special revelation to someone, as Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. That is not our duty to understand. All we can understand is that God, if we truly trust him, that God will reveal himself to those who pant after him as a deer pants after the water brooks. That we can be certain of. Although we don't have all the answers right now, we can be certain that if people genuinely search after light, God is not going to throw obstacles in their way. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the ministry. Be right back.
Theological differences, historical clashes, and resulting emotional baggage significantly hinder productive dialogue between Christians and Muslims. Even so, many Muslims who become Christian do so because of lofty descriptions about Jesus in the Quran. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including the article Islam and Christianity, Is a Productive Dialogue Possible?, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. News headlines make clear that Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the globe. Islam represents both a threat and a mission field for Christians. To help you meet the challenge, be sure to read two timely articles included in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus and Islam by David Wood examines teachings about Jesus from the Quran and addresses the question, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else, including Muhammad? Then Robindale Hadaway explores the question, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? To receive the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.
To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. They Say We Are Infidels by Mindy Bells gives you the facts and real-life stories from persecuted Christians who live on the run from ISIS in the Middle East. To receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A quick plug for the CRI support team. I noticed today as I was autographing or personalizing books to people who joined the CRI monthly support team, that many of them did that as a direct result of listening to me on the radio. And I would encourage many more to join that support team. It is the foundation that allows this ministry to reach around the globe. I alluded to this, I think, in one of the broadcasts earlier on last week, that we have had some pretty dreadfully low-income months over the at the beginning of this year, really, from the beginning of January until now. So it's been 2 months, and the shortfall has been substantial, is the bottom line. And the way that we can overcome these kinds of things is people joining us, standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I do want to mention, though, in fairness, that I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and while sometimes I become alarmed, I have 30 years of history to go on. And I can go back and say that every time we have prayed diligently and we've been faithful in our work, the Lord supplies through someone. And so I believe that this will happen again. Sometimes my faith flags. It should not after all this time, but I am unfortunately a mortal sinner like all others, and sometimes my faith is not all it should be, and I become alarmed and concerned. And I know that this is not an alarm or concern that I want to carry on by myself, and so I share it with you. And if you're one of God's people that has some of the resources of the Lord that you can invest in the ministry, it would be deeply appreciated. But never give to get. Give because you want to invest in the kingdom for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, in both of those places, you can say, I want to join CRI's monthly support team. And when you do, be pleased to personalize my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, equip.org, the quickest way to get the resource and to join the CRI support team. You can also talk directly to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stanley, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Stanley.
How do you do, sir? Thank you so very much for your show. Sir, I've been reading like in certain places of the Bible, and particularly John 14:26, where it talks about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father said in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said to you. Sometimes I think I hear God's voice in some things, and I don't always do right. Do you make mistakes? I do. I don't always know what to do. And sometimes when I think I know what He's speaking in my heart, sometimes it's not right. There should be some kind of alarm or something that goes off in me, shouldn't it?
Well, I think so. I think that's right. Here's the thing. First of all, in answer to your question, do I make mistakes? Absolutely make mistakes. But I would tell you something. The Christian life has never been a life that you lead by yourself. It's not a lone ranger enterprise. You do it within a community of faith. And within the community of faith, there are spiritual counselors. They're like a physical trainer might be. When you're exercising physically. And those counselors give you wise counsel. I've also learned that God moves through people and circumstances, including your wife, if you're married. So I'm constantly talking things over with my wife, praying about things with my wife, and as a result of that, both of us yielding ourselves to God and to the body of Christ, we end up getting good counsel that oftentimes after we've made a decision, we're so surprised at how fantastic everything worked out, but then we think, well, this is no happenstance. It is because we have really made this together a matter of prayer. We have been in our own prayer closets, but we're also in unity with the body of Christ so that we can, again, get good, wise counsel from people who know our circumstances and who care about our lives. So bottom line, God moves through the body of Christ, through people and through circumstances, and when we are being filled with Christ, which means when we are partaking of the graces that God gives for us to partake in so that we might be partakers of the divine nature, when we're in that process, then we are going to hear the voice of the Lord with a whole lot more clarity than when we're off on our own doing it our own way.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And again, wonderful that you brought up John chapter 14, those fantastic words, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Of course, who is in view there? Jesus says, "I have spoken to you while being present with you." He was speaking to the disciples. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." So we have the disciples, and they have a legacy and a heritage, which we have in the Word of God, but they passed it on to faithful people who have passed it on right down to this generation. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Benny in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Benny.
Hi, sir. Is it Hank?
Yeah, just Hank. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Hi. It's my first time calling in, and I listen to the program from time to time, and I find it very interesting as well as intriguing. However, I have a question. The question that I have is that, you know, I'm going to try to get through this right quick. I'm kind of nervous a little bit. But
you're actually doing great. Better than I would be if I was calling into a radio broadcast for the first time, I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, anyway, I've been struggling with drugs and alcohol since I was a teenager. And for the first time, I'm 56 years old, and for the first time I've got what I feel like a little substantial amount of sobriety in Alcoholic Anonymous. And this is like going on like three years and a little over 2 months. That's the most sober time that I've had. And all of this time, Hank, I've been trying to get it through the church. And to me, seemed like the church, and even one that I've attended a lot, and they prophesied on me, they prayed over me, they put oil on me, and et cetera. And only to I found myself back in my old ways in a very short time. And the question that I have, I guess it's a two-part question, because I do still read my Bible every morning, but I didn't start sobering up until I stopped going to church. And that is, to me, that's kind of backward, don't you think?
Well, not really, because, you know, what's interesting about this is that may have been your experience, but what you have done is precisely what a healthy, well-balanced church would advise you to do, either give you the context in which to do it or tell you to do it within a context. And you have gone to a context where you actually are required to be accountable, and you start learning principles that will lead you out of the state of alcoholism to the state of sobriety. So you have done an absolutely wise thing. And you're right. I mean, this is unfortunately the truth in many churches that you go to. They're looking for easy solutions. You know, so we're going to say a prayer out of you, pray over you. We're going to cast the demon of alcoholism out of you and whatever. But that's not how anything works. I mean, the Christian life is a life of discipline. And that's what you're learning, and that's why you've experienced sobriety. So the problem is not with the church in general. The problem is with specific churches that are looking for cheap solutions to very deep-seated problems. And quite frankly, there are no magic bullets. You know, Benny, you would know this probably as well as anyone. I don't know you, but I mean, from practical experience, we know. I can sit here right now, and I have gone through 6 weeks of having a bad cough, and because of that, during that time, I haven't exercised a whole lot. Well, when you don't exercise a whole lot, things happen to your body. You're not as strong athletically. Your physical abilities start to diminish. I know that for sure because I was playing my son in a golf match this weekend, and he just absolutely, well, he's way better than I am now anyway. But I mean, he just trounced me, and I was just thinking that the difference between him and me was partially because I haven't been exercising my body, and when you don't do that, the body atrophies. And I mean, I can go to a faith healer and say to the faith healer, you know, dab some oil on me and suddenly I'm going to be able to, you know, hit the ball 300 yards again. No, it's going to take stretching exercise. It's going to take discipline. And that's precisely what you've experienced. And I think that's fantastic, but you do not want to say, well, the one worked and the other didn't, and therefore the one's good and the other isn't good. Well, what's not good is a church that's not healthy and well-balanced. But what is important is that you find discipline within the context of the body of Christ as well.
Wow. Okay.
Makes sense?
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. And a lot of these churches, man, they seem like, you know, there's some of them. I've had experience with pastors that kind of felt that their inadequacy to help me, you know, and they just lash out against the program of Alcoholic Anonymous, and I was back and forth. So I've learned, and I'm learning, and even if I find me a church to attend, is to not bring the Alcoholic Anonymous program to church, and then as well as not bring, because it works good when I don't go and preach about church in AA as well. So it's kind of tricky, but I'm doing pretty good, and I have no desire to drink a drug anymore. But I just find it funny that I've done it without my childhood faith. My dad was a pastor and my mom was a missionary.
You know what's interesting though, Benny? I'd love to talk to you forever. I'd love to meet you someday. But, you know, what's interesting is that the 12-step program actually had their genesis in Christian principles like conviction of sin and conversion and confession and prayer and witness. And now they're being applied in a more pluralistic sense, but it does not mean that those principles have ever been diminished in terms of their effect. Hey, appreciate you calling. Benny, hope you'll call me again sometime, and God bless you. When we come back from the break, we'll be back with a quote of the day as well as more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The Mormon view of the afterlife is unique and complicated. To engage in fruitful dialogue about the gospel with Mormons, it is important to understand the nuances of their view. And Eric Johnson's article, Mormonism, the Afterlife, and Striving After Godhood, will equip you with exactly that knowledge. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including Mormonism, the Afterlife, and Striving After Godhood, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Or you can order online at equip.org. What is one of the greatest lies in the history of the world? That Islam is a religion of peace. To suggest this goes against all that is politically correct and fashionable in the Western world today. Yet truth has always been divisive, and if we don't wake up, the long-term consequences could be unthinkable. That's why we're offering They Say We're Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East by Mindy Bells. To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. Receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The historic Christian Church has held the eternal generation of the Son formally since the 4th century, but some evangelicals fail to see the biblical foundation or importance of the doctrine. Charles Lee Irons explains how the Church Fathers derived this doctrine from Scripture and why it is essential to both Christ's deity and to the Trinity. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including the article Begotten of the Father Before All Ages, The Biblical Basis of Eternal Generation According to the Church Fathers, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our quote of the day comes from John Wesley. I want to say it needs no introduction. He was an 18th century Anglican theologian. His brother, the famed Charles Wesley, a poet, hymn writer, founder of Methodism. Anyway, John Wesley said, and I quote, "If we suffer persecution and affliction in a right manner, we attain a larger measure of conformity to Christ by a due improvement of one of these occasions than we could have done merely by imitating his mercy in abundance of good works." And I often point to persecution and affliction as the cauldron in which God pours us out in new and better fashion. Again, the quote of the day by John Wesley. Back to the phone lines. We will go next to Ben in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So the question that I have has to do with the idea of healing. And I know there's no formula for healing, but I know that there's a thread, like the mainstream thread would be, we pray for the Lord to heal somebody. But then there's another thread of thinking that goes, and teaching, that's teaching a lot of our young adults and youth, okay, you need to take authority and say, command, leg be healed, or like, get up and walk. And the question is, am I uncomfortable with that just because of the excess of some of the hyper-charismatics, or is there actually a biblical argument? Because there are people in our church that are like, you've got to tell these youth, they got to stop commanding healing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, we cannot command God, and we do recognize that we live in a cursed creation. As I was saying earlier with respect to the quote of the day, it is oftentimes in the cauldron of affliction and persecution that we are poured out in new and better fashion. And so sometimes we ought to almost wish for that melting pot if our true desire is to be conformed more unto the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, which is really where we find our hope. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have suffering and tribulation. But there's going to be a new order of things, and John talks about it on the Isle of Patmos, in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. In the meantime, we all get sick, and eventually we all die. I was just watching with one of my kids this weekend, Gleason, which is the story of a guy who played for the New Orleans Saints. And then he developed ALS and just went through an agonizing death, but used his latter years, or the few years he had from the time of the diagnosis to the time that that the movie ended. I don't know if he died, actually. But he used that time to do something very constructive with his life. Now, the suffering and the agony never leave as long as we're in this world, but we're looking forward to the hope of glory. Again, a new order of things in which there is no more sorrow. Now, in the meantime, can God supernaturally heal us? Yes. I mean, I can tell you for 6 weeks I've been praying that God would take away this this cough that I've had. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, I've had it, and I've had to deal with it, and it was kind of interesting. I was thinking, how could this go on this long? I haven't had a cold or a cough in 15 years, and I talked to a doctor friend of mine. In fact, it was just this weekend again, and he said to me, you know, Hank, I have patients that have had that for over 3 months. You know, it just keeps coming and going. But now it looks like it's almost gone, but I struggle while I'm going through. But that's the human condition. I mean, we all get sick. As much as we'd like to hope that we're above it all, we all get sick and eventually we all die. And there are no magic formulas. In fact, the reason I brought up, by the way, this movie Gleason is in the middle of it, even though neither he and his wife seem to have an orthodox view of Christianity, although I don't know all the details by watching the movie. They went to a faith healer, hoping that the faith healer would be the solution. And then you can hear the wife as she's watching all of this happen. She's just saying, this is BS. Now, she said it in a more graphic fashion. But and quite frankly, it was very disillusioning to their faith. Again, our faith is not in our own faith, whether we can conjure up words of faith by which we can have extraordinary things happen. Our faith is in our God. And we know that nothing passes through the filter or the prism of his love, or nothing reaches us, I should say, but that it passes through the prism or the filter of his love.
Okay.
Help? I've written a whole chapter on this, by the way, in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, on the whole health and wealth gospel and its ramifications, because a lot of people think that the reason that they're still sick is because they don't have enough faith. And so if they get sick and they have problems, or if their child dies, well, it's because they spoke words of fear instead of words of faith. And that's simply a faulty view, both theologically and practically.
Right. I guess my question isn't so much about whether it's faith that heals us, but so much as
Do you think it is wrong for people to say, leg, be healed?
Well, I think that we might pray earnestly on our knees and ask other people to pray for us as we go through the difficulties of life. But sometimes God brings those difficulties into our lives so that we come to a true valuation of things, as I said earlier, and are poured out in new and better fashion.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Hey, you got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Patrick next. He's in South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I'm new with the Holy Spirit. I know that there's one God, the Creator, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and then the Spirit that's in me. And I know that the Spirit in me is alive. It's just, I know for a fact.
Is a person.
Yes. It's not guiding me. And
yes.
It's wonderful. My whole thought process has changed. My question is, with my past, I know that there is evil believers, there are people that believe in evil. Do they have some type of spirit that they can go to and ask questions like I talk to my Holy Spirit?
Well,
does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, and it's a really good question. And I think that there are two things going on in the world. One is people are becoming more and more ingrained in the kingdom of darkness. On the other side, people are becoming more and more inculcated into the kingdom of light. When you partake of the graces of God, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you are in fellowship with a community of believers, and you're partaking of the means of grace, then you are being deified. You are a partaker of the divine nature, to use the biblical language. So you are being filled with Christ. You are being filled with the Spirit. You are being filled with God. Remember, we believe in one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And whether it is the Father working redemptively within us, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit, we do not know. We know that God is working redemptively within us. But your point in the prologue to the question is well taken. The same thing is true with respect to the Prince of Darkness. As you give yourself over more and more to the deeds of wickedness, you become more and more, as it were, filled with the evil that is the resultant direct consequence of that evil. You got a prince of darkness and you have a prince of light. Now, they're not, like the yin and the yang, or opposite sides of the force, because the prince of darkness is a created being. The prince of light is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and created Satan. Now, he didn't create Satan as an evil being. He created Satan as an angel of light who fell because he wanted worship for himself rather than to do what he had been created for, and that is to give glory and worship to God.
So I got one more. That makes a lot of sense. And I tell you, I've prayed for Satan. Whether that's right or wrong, I have no idea, but so recent me being in the Spirit, it's everything, like Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, where if you're in the Spirit, from what I understand, everything, good or bad, is made for my benefit.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. And I think that the qualification is often missed. You didn't miss it, but a lot of people do. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. And you would fall into that category as someone who has submitted his life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hank, you're the best. Continue with your race and finish it, my friend.
Thank you. You as well. I'm glad you're growing.
All right.
Nice talking
Thank
to you.
Bye.
Hey, bye. Well, I want to mention I'm going to be at Idlewood Baptist Church, this great conference that they're holding, and I get to participate in it on February 26th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I guess you'd know that if you were on the East Coast. It's called the Now More Than Ever Global Impact Conference. Ken Witten is the pastor of the church, fantastic pastor. And I'm going to be speaking on Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. By the way, you can watch live online at idlewood.org when I'm speaking there. If you can't actually get there, but I'd love you to join me as I address a topic of vital importance at this particular moment in history. A lot of narratives floating around, but what's the truth? For more information, you can visit idlewood.org. I'd love to meet you there. Again, all of that coming up on the 26th, which is not all that far down the road. Also want to mention that there are a lot of ways in which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can download CRISE Equip app. And if you do, you can listen live to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can also listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the Equip app. So if you don't have it, you can take the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Christian Research Journal wherever you go. Again, go to equip.org and download CRISE Equip app. Also, you can subscribe to my daily e-truth. And when you do, a new e-truth to your inbox every single day. So that's a blessing Monday through Friday. We will be right back here tomorrow with the Bible with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And probably later on this week, as my voice gets stronger, I'm going to do some off-air hours as well. So I'll stay in studio for an extra hour, continue taking calls. Do remember, if you're queuing up, before the show, as people oftentimes do, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. My apologies to those that I did not get to today. Hopefully we'll get to you tomorrow or some other time as the Lord provides. And thank you for those that make this broadcast possible by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. News headlines make clear that Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the globe. Islam represents both a threat and a mission field for Christians. To help you meet the challenge, be sure to read two timely articles included in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus and Islam by David Wood examines teachings about Jesus from the Quran and addresses the question, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else, including Muhammad? Then Robin Dale Hathaway explores the question, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? To receive the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations, and to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.